You're listening to a podcast from 702.
702 Healing Hour.
It's 10 minutes after 10 o'clock now, and it's time for our monthly feature, the Healing Hour. This is where we dedicate an hour to have a conversation amongst ourselves as family, as friends here on the Clement Manyathela Show. We've been healing from a lot of things through this feature over the last couple of months. We started this feature in 2020 already. And I, as always, I want to thank you for sending me emails on cm@702.co.za suggesting topics for the Healing Hour. It is always great to hear from you guys sharing your own stories and suggesting what we should heal from. And it's always great to even hear from people who have testimonies about how, after listening to the Healing Hour, they've started their own journey of healing. Remember, this is a safe space for us to share our pain, our stories of survival, our experiences as friends, as a family, as a community, with no judgment. And we do this with the hope that our discussion helps people start their own journey of healing. So today we're healing from the effects of beatings as children, from the trauma of corporal punishment. And I thought we should heal from this after I took several calls last week from some listeners who were suggesting that the reason children are misbehaving these days is because their parents are not allowed to beat them up as a form of discipline. And many of you, including myself, were against that notion. And we pointed out the effects of that, you know, that form of discipline and the trauma that it causes. Many of us have been left traumatized. Many of us are in therapy to deal with that. And look, this doesn't make our parents terrible people. At least I don't think so. They were disciplining us the only way they knew how. That's how they were disciplined themselves. But we know better now. And I don't think any of us should justify that level of violence. I grew up being disciplined that way by my dad. Any mistake you made, you know you're going to be told to lie down on the bed and he will whip out his belt and start assaulting you. And that's exactly what it is. To me, it is assault. And as a result of that, I grew up fearing my dad. I don't remember having a loving father and son relationship with him because I saw him as someone who just hated me and was just jumping at any moment to beat me up. So the effect of that is major on my life. So for most of my life, I didn't have a close relationship with him, largely because of what happened, right? We would be driving for a while, and I can't even say a word to him because I don't know how to relate to him as that kind of a father. And it takes a lot of work, it takes a lot of therapy to heal from that and reestablish that relationship. Again, this doesn't mean he didn't love me. It doesn't mean I don't love him. It just means what he did, his form of discipline, messed up our relationship. And I've started my own journey of healing. Have you started yours? And you, like me, are you still trying to deal with that trauma? Or have you dealt with it and you have managed to reestablish your relationship with those who caused you that trauma? So we're healing today from the effects of beatings as children, from the trauma of assault suffered at the hands of our parents, of our guardians, right? From that corporal punishment. So what was your experience as a child? Give me a call now on 011-883-0702. If you want to send a WhatsApp voice note to share your experience, you're welcome to do that on 072-702-1702. How did the beatings, how did the corporal punishment affect your relationship with the guardian? Yeah? I'd like to know from you. Send us a WhatsApp voice note as well on 072-702-1702. And look, if you're a parent as well who employed this kind of discipline on your children, I'd like to hear from you too. What damage did that do, if any, on your children? Right? And how are you making amends now? This is the Healing Hour.
702
Healing Hour.
It's 16 minutes after 10 o'clock. We're doing the Healing Hour this morning. It's our monthly feature. It It's a safe space for us to share our pain, our stories of survival, our experiences as friends, as a family, as a community with no judgment. And we're hoping that this helps you start your own journey of healing. And I want us to share our stories. I told you of how I've been impacted by corporal punishment, right? And how that has affected my relationship with my dad. And I want to know how it's affected your relationship. Were you disciplined through violence when you were a child? And how have you dealt with it? There are people that have gone even to like counseling with their parents, and they've managed to deal with that. I once took a call from a listener who says, I drive even with my dad and we don't even talk because I don't even know where to start, because that's not how we've ever related to one another. So how have you been impacted by corporal punishment? And if you are a parent that used to use that form of discipline, if it's affected your children, how has it affected them and your relationship as well? Let's start with this voice note.
Yeah, Clemens, I'm listening to you describing your relationship with your dad, and this topic touches very close to home for me. So my dad also hit me as well. And I mean, growing up, as much as he stopped hitting, he was still very like verbally abusive, you know? So yeah, I never had that relationship with my father. I was always scared of him. I'd always be in fear whenever he'd walk into the room. So yeah, I mean, that's why also I vowed that I'm not going to be hitting my kids. I feel like you can talk to children, there's ways of reasoning with them, and there's ways of disciplining without having to resort to violence.
Yes, there's absolutely other ways you can employ. And I just feel like when you don't know the effects, you are not going to appreciate how complex that is. And like I said, our parents, that's the only way they probably knew to discipline, for most of them, because that's how they were raised, right? And for most of them, they didn't have a good relationship with their mothers, with their fathers, who used to beat them up, because they felt, oh, that's the kind of relationship that must exist. You know, you need to be fearful of your parents, so to speak. And when you grow older, you're realizing that you missed out on an opportunity to have a safe space with your guardians, with your parents, because at some point you looked at them as people who were ready to jump at any opportunity to inflict pain on you. How do you open up to people like that? How do you believe that people like that love you when at any opportunity they're jumping to inflict pain on you? It's a very tough one. Jerry, you're calling us from Omonde. Good morning.
Good morning to you. I'm just saying corporal punishment was bad news. I just wish that it was being done away with many, many years ago. I've said to the guys that I went to school with, there is no scientific proof, Yahore, when you beat up a child, they be automatically become disciplined or become clever or they become wiser. But now we were abused to school. I mean, I remember January when the stationery was delivered at school. There were canes as well. I mean, a teacher would come to a classroom to teach us biology then with a book, a chalk, and a stick. And I mean, just seeing that stick in there was nerve-breaking. Mm-hmm. So I just want to believe, Jorge, a lot of students have dropped out because of that, and school wasn't fun, and come 3 o'clock Friday, everybody was happy because it's time to go home. Come 5 o'clock on Sunday, tomorrow is Monday again. So yeah. I'm just saying, I wish we had a good relationship with our teachers, because, I mean, they were our fathers, they were our uncles, they were our mothers. Kukukhaya, you get beaten for something that you didn't do, you want to share it with somebody who's older, you don't know where to go.
Yes, because
punishment was bad news.
Yeah, because they have not created that safe space, Jerry, for you to even come and open up. Right? Even when you've made a mistake, and we make mistakes, when you've made a mistake, there's no opportunity to reflect on what you can do better. The only thing is, there must be a punitive measure. And you're raising a good point, Jerry, about the school aspect of it. How many kids who were bunking school were doing that because they were so traumatized to go back to that space because of what happens when they are in that space. Lebo, you are in Pretoria. Good morning.
Morning. Are you well?
I'm good, Lebo. How are you doing?
Good. I was reflecting on what you were saying. For me, my mother was the person that punished us, and consistently so. But it was purely out of frustration because she didn't know how to discipline. But what I was saying earlier was, even though she punished us, she also showed us lots of love. Like, she taught me how to bake. One of my fondest memories is spending time with my mom in the kitchen baking. And I still love her today to bits. My dad, on the other hand, didn't punish us, but he was absent. He was there, but emotionally upset. The trauma that I go through today, it is a trauma of abandonment and not having a present father. So I don't necessarily think that the punishment was the issue, but the relationship was. So there was no connection. But with my mom, although that she would punish us out of frustration, but she was also available to connect emotionally.
I hear you, Lebo in Pretoria. Lebo says, yeah, she was able to connect with the mom emotionally, even though the beatings were from that sense of frustration. And yeah, like I said before, that doesn't mean that your parents are terrible people because they employed that form of discipline, right? That's what they knew as a way to discipline their children. That's how they were disciplining themselves. But for some people like us, that has left many wounds. And you know what that does is, even when sometimes the person who used to beat you up does something good to demonstrate their love for you, you don't even see it. It doesn't mean much to you because already the perception has been created, and not just the perception, but it's become reality that you fear this person. So even when there's something good happen, you're thinking, okay, is this a trap? What's about to come? Because I don't know you like this. So please don't come like this, because I don't know you like this. I know you like this way. So yeah, for some parents, even when they're trying to do good, it's very difficult for those children to see it and experience it, because what they've come to know you as is this person that is jumping at any opportunity to inflict pain on them. Dion, you're calling from Dibinoni. Good morning.
Hi. Sure. Listening to you and your audience brings up a lot of emotions, because I've learned so much from all my mistakes. I've made so many mistakes with my own children. And if I think back to my school years, I went to Benoni High School, and we had, he wasn't the headmaster at the time, he was the head of department, Brian Lotter, and he had a cane called Budgie. And he used to whack the living daylights out of us boys when we were naughty. But we all respected him, because he never did it in anger. He didn't have a flustered face. He didn't beat us with a vengeance to make us bleed, and he would counsel us and talk to us. And he really was like your previous caller that was talking about the mom baking. I mean, he was a beautiful man, and yet he beat us. And I think that the difference is that when a parent beats their child out of anger, and they also don't give you the choice, because if you get a choice and say, look, you can either get six of the best, or you can't go on rugby tour, or you can't go on this. Children and human beings will always take the point of least resistance, always. It is embedded, it's in our DNA. And I even got hit by the police. My next-door neighbor and myself stole our neighbor's car. We were really naughty kids. And the cops caught us. And in those days, the police used to actually dish this out. And they would take your pants off, and they'd put a wet towel over your bum, and they would whack you. It was such a hiding that you would be begging to go and get hit by the schoolmaster. And I think there's a time and a place for everything, but the big lesson that Brian Lotter taught us at school is never to do it in anger and always show love. And it's a very powerful tool. And I do know that we are breeding a culture of disobedience in South Africa. And I also know that the families that are strong produce great countries. And your country, if you want to destroy a country, you destroy the family unit. The family unit is the single most important embryonic component of a country, because countries is made up of millions of people and you are formed in the family. And if you mess this up,
yeah.
And listening to you and other people that they fear their parents.
Mm.
I mean, I've made so many mistakes with staff as well, where I mess up the relationship and then they can't approach me.
Yes.
And I'm listening to you guys and I'm thinking to myself, my goodness, how many times, even with my own children, where I messed up.
Mm.
But to throw away a beautiful, powerful tool of physical punishment isn't wise. Just to throw it away. And if you give a child a choice and say, listen, Johnny or Nandi or whatever, let's talk about this. Let's pray about this together. Even if you cry with a child together and you do it carefully, and you say, take your chick. Would you like to get a hiding? Or would you like to maybe lose television or lose your cell phone or lose something? And just see what sort of result you get. But if you're only giving negative, like I did at some points in my life, oh my goodness, I've made such mistakes. And I'm really grateful for the show, because it's forcing me to think. But I just want to tell you that I'm for hitting children, but in a very, very controlled way. And and I don't think you should make them bleed, and I don't think you should break the skin open like what happened to us, because times are different.
Ah, they are different indeed, Dion. Indeed. We are talking here about that abuse of power by someone who is in that position of authority, whether it's a teacher or a guardian or your parent, and the use of physical violence. And it's different from talking about smacking, right? And that's what Dion, the difference that Dion is making there. Those are two different things. I would never want to take out a belt and beat someone until they've got scars, right? I would never want to do that. And I don't think I'll ever do that, even to my children. I will never do that, because I don't want to take away that precious relationship. And I can tell you from my own experience, when you do that, when you define your relationship with your kids like that, you are losing a big chunk of a relationship that would have been. And your children are sometimes going to suffer in silence, because they're even scared to come to you for advice, or when they've made a mistake, so when they want to decide on something, because they don't know how to relate with you. They don't know. The only way they know is this is how you treat them when they've made mistakes. And the thing about using that level of violence is that when you are growing up, you are thinking that mistakes, nobody can make mistakes. You know, in my adult life now, and like I said, I've started to do a lot of work in therapy, and I'm so grateful for the work that I've started with my therapist, because it's helped me understand the damage that has done, even on me as a person, and how I even, what I expect from people, and how I relate with other people, right? And when people make just a simple mistake, the first thing I used to think of is they've got to be punished for it. And not punished as in like physical violence, but I always think of ways, how do I come up with a way to punish this person for making this mistake? Because growing up, the only thing I was told is I cannot make mistakes. Because for a stupid mistake that I did as a child, I'm going to get the biggest beating of my life. So that thing, such, it even shapes how you relate with other people. And that's just one of the traumas, one of the damages that that level of violence does on you as a person, far apart from your relationship with the perpetrator. It's just after 10:30.
702 Healing Hour.
It's 25 minutes before 11 o'clock. It's our healing hour. Crawford on Twitter says, good morning, Clement. This topic just hit home. I used to smack my son. I realized that we don't have a relationship since he's afraid of me, but we are slowly having that relationship. He's closer to his mom more than me, and I always feel left out. Oh, Crawford, I hope you're going to fix that. And I'm glad you're saying that that relationship is beginning to be mended, because you need it, and your child needs that relationship with you as well. And if you look at it, the reason that most of us ended up being closer to our moms or our dads is because of, partly, and not always, right? But in some instances, it's because of the treatment you were getting from the other parent. So you end up being close to one because that other one, you don't relate to them as a loving mom or as a loving dad. You're relating to them as you fear them. Guys, you don't want your children to fear you. That's not the relationship you want with them. It's going to affect not just your relationship with them, but it's going to affect how they relate with other people when they are much older. Zwandile, switch off the radio. You are calling us from Johannesburg. Good morning.
Morning, sir. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you doing?
I'm fine, thank you. Let me just park here because I'm driving. Okay, I've got a safe place to park. Listen, Clement, I believe you have just given me a platform that I've never had before, of speaking out about what I went through. And I kind of, in my situation, I don't even know where to start, because first of all, my dad passed on when I was 2 months, right? So I kind of grew from one home to another. The first place that I experienced a severe hitings was at my grandmother's, where my mother went to drop us after our father passed away. And I had uncles that were brutal, people who were put, the only thing and language that I know was being beaten.
Sure.
From a very, very, very young age. I mean, from the age of three, four, growing up, I mean, I was beaten like a dog. You don't even beat dog that way, because SPCA have been around for a while to protect animals. So I don't know how to describe the way in which I was beaten. It was like just about everybody who wanted to beat somebody will come to me. And I wasn't safe. Just about from everybody. Then I moved from the uncles straight at the hands of a stepfather who would, for whatever reason, whatever that is suspected to have been done wrong by children in the house, then the stepfather will pick me. And he have this plan of beating me. He will wait until the middle of the night. And he will go to where we were sleeping and just immediately and roughly so fast pull up the blanket and start beating me all over the house until I will find a place of a way of opening up a door. And it was like, if I don't find a way of opening up a door, he will not stop. And my mother was there. My mother was there. My siblings was there. And nobody could say anything. And if I find myself opening the door in whatever way and strength, and then he would, when I jump out, he will close the door on me. And at that time, it's either I'm naked or I have my underwear, just my underwear on. Then I must find a place to sleep. I slept in toilets, neighbors' toilets. I slept a number of times with a dog. I would get into the dog and kind of sleep next to the dog, and until in the morning, and then I will just get out of there and wander around up until, I don't know, my stepfather is gone, and then I will get into the house in one way or another. And then there will be a school situation. A school situation, I was beaten a number of times in front of the assembly. I was beaten a number of times in front of the whole school. And I really did not know where to turn. I don't know if there's anybody who went to the extreme experience of being beaten in life as I grow up like me.
Oh, Zondile, I'm so sorry to hear that. I really am. How old are you now?
Say that again.
How old are you now?
I'm 55.
Have you started talking about it? Have you been able to go to therapy to deal with? Because that trauma is still there.
Not at all. I just grew up being a mess, a very very horrible mess, and I got married. And then I didn't know what to do with my marriage. I was just a mess in the marriage. And as a result, 22 years of marriage, and then just broken to pieces. And I'm divorced, and I'm alone once again.
I'm so sorry.
It's just horrible. Let me tell you what my one of my stepfathers. At one stage, I can't remember. I think I stole 5 rand or something. And then he got me, and then he beat me so bad, and then he tied me with a rope, and then to the tree in his house. There was this tree, and then he tied me to the tree naked the whole day. And then he decided out of the blue that I must go and show him where did I buy with the 5 rand. And then he tied me, my hands at the back with a rope, these hard ropes, and he walked me naked to a shop, a certain shop that I must show where did I buy with the 5 rand. And it was the middle of the day on Saturday, and everybody saw what was happening around the area where I was staying in Port Elizabeth. And that's one of the things really that the extreme
and the
experience that I went through.
Yeah, and also the shame that just comes with being shown around the community to see just what a terrible child you are, because that's what they're probably thinking, and the shame that comes with that, the psychological effects. Oh, Mzandile, what a difficult story to listen to. Thank you so much for calling in, and I'm glad you found this platform to be useful to confront that trauma, and I'm hoping that you're going to do some work to start your own journey of healing, because you need to heal, Mzandile. You've got to heal. You've got to talk to someone, because if we don't heal, we perpetuate to more people. The effects of these traumas, they shape our thinking. They shape how we relate with other people. So then it becomes a perpetual cycle. Hence that healing process is so important. Thank you, Mzondile, for being vulnerable enough to share that story with us. Kate, you're calling from Mill Park. Hi.
Hi, how are you, Clement?
I'm all right, Kate. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. So I was driving when I heard you talk about this, and I wasn't ready for the sort of emotions that it triggered. I think for me, the most difficult part is reconciling the fact that you've been through a lot of abuse at the hands of your parents. And I call it abuse because that's what it is. We call it like corporal punishment, discipline, but like, For many of us, it was abuse, you know, and yet in your 30s, these are still the people you love most in the world, you know, and even making this call was difficult because you think, is this shaming them? Is this a lack of gratitude on my part? you know. But I think working in therapy over the last 6 years, I've had to accept that, you know, I experienced this and my siblings experienced this, and how they reacted to, like, our parents beating us was very different to the way I react, because we're all different, you know. Some of us are a lot more sensitive, some are not, some are good at suppressing, others not.
Yes.
And so both my parents used to hit me, right? But my mom was a lot more volatile. So anything that was around the house, if there was a shoe, a slipper, a pan, like, it's coming your way immediately if you set her off, you know. But my dad was a lot more calm. So there was structure around how he'd discipline us. He would say, okay, this is the infringement and these are the repercussions. Do you understand why this is a problem? And you'd be like, yes, I do. I made a mistake, you know. And then he'd say, okay, great. Go and choose the belt that you think is appropriate for this misdemeanor. So if you get something too small, you must know he's going to use that and a bigger belt. And you obviously don't want to get a belt that's too big, you know. So I think there was a lot of psychological trauma that went into choosing your weapon.
Yes.
What was interesting was, after he'd, like, administered the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lashes that we'd agreed upon, right, he'd then come and he'd hug you and he'd say, I'm really sorry, my girl. I don't want to hurt you, but you have to learn, you know. So there were lots of emotions. And, like, as a 5, 6, 7-year-old, it's really hard to comprehend, you know, like, what on earth is happening. But
do you have children now, Kate? How did that even shape how you discipline, or whether or not to have children?
I have chosen not to have children. So it's an active choice that I've made, and I do know that it's as a result of, like, my upbringing. I don't think I grew up in an abusive home, but I do think that I wouldn't be able, I'm not sure how to raise kids. I don't want to inflict any damage on any innocent little soul that I'm going to bring into this world, you know.
Oh, Kate, thank you for calling. I'm really wishing you the best in also dealing with that. We're all going through that journey of healing. And Kate, I'm glad that, you know, because sometimes the most important thing is to see the effects of that trauma. Because when you see that, when you acknowledge that, then you are able to start doing the work to deal with it. I'm wishing you all the best in that journey of healing, Kate. Let's go to Pretoria now. Patrick, good morning.
Hey, good night, how's it?
Patrick, how's it?
it's something like... you like to trigger emotions, but it's good in a way. I grew up... I think I'm the firstborn on my mother's side. So every time my father will fight with my mom, I'll get a beating. That's how my life was, more especially from primary all the way. And this thing, I never saw the effect then. To remember, in those days, if nobody's correcting something, we consider it as a norm. We accepted it as it is. But when I got married, I had my children. I did beat my children, but I didn't see the results of that. I stopped that years ago. 2 years ago, I realized the after effects of the beating.
Yeah.
I sat down, my son is 16. I sat down, I realized I don't have a relationship with my children. They know that the father loves them and supports everything. But I've never had a father and son talk. With my father, I don't know that. I don't know how to start that. But, you know, I thank God that my wife is also supporting for the children to understand that for me not being too talkative or anything doesn't mean I don't love them. So this is just the after effect of some of the things that we took light growing up. You know, and then some of us, we see it late, unfortunately. The others, they managed to see it earlier. So it's something that I'm busy personally dealing with it. Or on my own, trying to force myself to build you know, those relationships.
It's
very hard.
And no, it's going to be hard, Patrick, because also the kids are grown now, right? I mean, it's the hardest thing. But what I'm happy about, Patrick, is that you've picked up where the errors are, and you are trying to make amends. And trust me, your kids appreciate that a lot. And all of us want to have that relationship with both of our parents where it's so loving, you know. I mean, where you know I can go to Dad, Patrick, and be vulnerable and say this. But when you have become this evil creature that was just beating and beating, and the kids look at you like that. They do. So how do they even come when they've made a mistake? Because guys, this is life. Mistakes are, we're not superhuman beings. And when you teach children from a young age that they can never make mistakes, any mistake they made qualifies them for this amount of punishment. Like, how do you think they're going to even relate with authority? When they make mistakes at work, how do you think they relate with authority? When they're in relationships, it's devastating. It's so traumatic, and it needs us to reflect on how we are going to do things going forward. Shall we go to some voice notes, and then we'll go back to some calls?
Hi, Clement. Thank you for making me feel special on this one. I grew up in the polygamous family where my father had 26 wives. We are almost 76 kids of my father. I don't want to tell you how I was brought up on that corporate punishment. That really affected me a lot. That so young as I was, I decided that I will never beat my kids. I will never lay my hands on a woman. And until today, I'm a 54. Believe me, I never, ever lay my hand on a woman and on kids. John,
thank from you Johannesburg. For the voice note, John.
Morning, Clement. So I grew up also receiving a lot of beating from my mother. And as I became an adult, I resented her, you know, for the way she used to beat me when I was growing up. Up until I met someone who, you know, spoke to me and told me that our old parents, they raised us the best way they knew. Mm. It's not like they didn't love us.
Mm.
That's how they knew to raise us. And they were also raised in that way by their parents, who are our grandparents.
Mm.
So we now know better, and I'm raising my child differently because I know better. So as soon as I discovered that my relationship with her improved, Walter from Cape Town.
That's so great to hear that, Walter. And yeah, like I stressed in the beginning, this doesn't make our parents terrible people. And us reflecting on the methods they use to discipline us doesn't mean we don't love them. I love my dad, and I know he loves me. But I also recognize that the way I was disciplined has affected how I relate with him. And I have got to do the work through therapy. I've got to talk about it so that I start even fixing things around how I relate with other people, and I can start reestablishing that relationship with him. Because it doesn't... You're not going to wake up one day, right, and someone even recognizes how they've wronged you, and then things go back to normal. That's just not how it works. There's a lot of work that needs to go into reestablishing that relationship.
Morning, Clem. You know, this topic you're having is very emotional. You know, the one thing, and we didn't even realize as kids, but when my father would drive in, like we'd hear his car coming into the garage,
you rush.
You know, we'd be laughing and everything, yes. Even with my mother. We'd be laughing and having a good time. But when he comes in, we'd all disperse to our bedrooms. The one day he came and asked us, and now we were having fun in the bedroom now, asking, why don't you guys want to be around me? And, you know, that's the day I realized that I don't want to be touching my children like that. Sorry.
Oh, I'm getting goosebumps listening to that, because you take, like, I remember the moment. I remember that. When he's walking in, you want to disperse. Leave that kitchen. When you are joking with everybody else, leave. Go to your room or go outside. Just avoid an interaction. That's how bad it was. Imagine that's how people react. Hmm? Imagine that's how people react when you walk in. We need to do different. Stanley, you are in Soweto. Good morning.
Good morning, Clement. Thank you for taking my call. I am 68 years old right now. My beating started when I left my home, when my mother separated with my father. Then
yes.
She took us to her place. I think I was 3, my brother was 2. Both of us, we went there.
Mm-hmm.
We saw beatings for the first time in our life at my mother's place. But the grandmother was beating us with what we call the little stick from the peaches.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but now I realized one thing with my grandmother. It was through love. But my uncle, who was older than my mother, he used to beat me up. When he beat me up, he would throw me up.
Mm.
And leave me just fall down.
Mm.
Sometimes we take you with whatever, throw you up, or we throw you a little bit far away, about so many meters away.
Mm.
Then that's how my uncle used to pick me up. Clement, but what shocked me is that I loved him when I was old.
Mm.
You know? And it's so amazing what happened. My brother, at one stage, I think I was about 7 or 8.
Mm.
My brother got lost, tried to run away from that place. And he was found. He was found. There were two. They were found dead after 4 days.
Oh, Stanley.
So it was very, even today when I'm thinking about that, become very emotional.
Oh, Stanley, I'm sorry to hear
happened.
That.
But Clement, God, I don't know whether it's God's happening. I also love them. All my uncles used to hate me. And all of them, I buried them.
Yeah.
They grow old. I was supporting them, maintaining them. I buried them.
Yeah. You've got a good heart, Stanley. And it's not easy for many people to still see that kind of love even after the trauma. Thank you for sharing that with us, Stanley.
Hello, Clement, and 702 listeners. I think corporal punishment is not a good thing. Eh? As we speak right now, I'm 39 years old. I'm not good in reading. Like, I'm not a quick reader. I have to repeat what I'm reading. I'm reading because we used to be beat up in the English classes. When you're supposed to read, it was like a nightmare. And you even bunked those classes. And at the end of the day, you're not enjoying what you're doing. And then it destroys your career, your future, and everything else.
Morning, Clement. With regards to the caller who called in about corporal punishment at school, I want to second what he says about how children probably bunk school because of the corporal punishment. I am a high school teacher and I've also picked up on that. And it's so sad watching this continue and knowing the effect that it's having on these learners. And it's difficult for me as a young teacher to speak to these older teachers and tell them that actually what you're doing is wrong. Stop it. But they are holding on to that belief. And I just really wish the Department of Education would take it more seriously. Because when they come to our schools, they can see that this is happening. The RCLs tell them that they are being hit, but nothing gets done.
Yeah, I mean that's actually even illegal in the schools. Let me wrap up with this message from Anonymous. Clement, my mother used to beat me like she hated me. She would use fists, pinch me, smack me on the face. There was a time when she actually bit me. Now that she's older, she wants us to have a relationship, and I cannot relate to her like that. At the same time, I still have to take care of her. I've been going for therapy thinking I will be able to forgive her, and I can't. And I think I actually despise her even though I'm now forced to take care of her because of societal expectations. That's a message from Anonymous.